Christ is risen.
Indeed he is risen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So today on this third Sunday after Pascha, the Holy Fathers have established Christ's great miracle of the healing of the paralytic at the Pool of Bethesda, or also known as the Sheep's Pool, for our contemplation. Now Christ had come up to Jerusalem for one of the great feasts of the Jewish temple. Probably it was their feast of Pentecost. And at that time, that was bound up with the grain harvest, and it was also a commemoration of when God gave the Ten Commandments of the Law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And since many of the Jews offered a lamb or a sheep in sacrifice on this great feast, then they would take these sheep down to this pool, and they would wash them and make sure that they were suitable for sacrifices, that they didn't have any blemishes, and so forth. And so, as it says, at a certain season, the angel of the Lord would trouble the waters, and then the first person to enter the pool would be healed of whatever disease they had. St. Theophan the Recluse says that this, and other fathers said that this actually took place once a year, where these waters were troubled. And so when the Lord comes to the paralytic and asks him if he'd like to be healed, you know, his understanding is that he has to get down to that pool. And so his response naturally then is, well, sir, I have no man to take me down to that pool, and so somebody always gets in before me. And so Jesus then, out of compassion, simply says to the man, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now St. Theophylact observes, see how the paralytic believed as soon as he heard Jesus' word. He did not hesitate and think, this man is crazy. I've been here for 38 years without being made whole, and now all at once he commands me to stand? Instead, he believed and rose to his feet. So this is a tremendous exercise of faith on the part of this paralyzed man. In fact, this is really an image of both great faith and great virtue. What patience and hope this man had, waiting for so many years, hoping that one day someone would help him into that pool so that he could be healed. Some Christians today might find it hard to wait even a little while for their prayer to be answered, let alone 38 years. That Jesus performed this miracle on the Sabbath day was also meaningful. He, you know, he's Jesus, he's God, he could have healed the man any time he wanted. But as St. Nikolai Vlimirovich says, the Lord does this deliberately to denounce the Jews' idolatrous worship of the Sabbath day and to show that man is of more importance than the Sabbath, and that compassion is more important than any sort of legal formalism. Now, many of the other Holy Fathers also observe that when they saw the man carrying his bed, they note that what's the first concern of these Jewish leaders who are supposed to be helping, you know, people work out their salvation and live righteous lives? What's their first reaction? What's their first thought? Here's a man that's been paralyzed for 38 years at this pool, who's probably well known, having been there so long. Their first reaction was not to marvel and give thanks to God that a miraculous healing had taken place, but rather to find fault in the healing because it violated this tradition of not doing any work on the Sabbath day. You know, the man is simply carrying his bed, you know, his mattress. And so they say, well, that's a violation of the Sabbath, and that is bad. You know, you're a lawbreaker and all this. Well, St. Theophan the Recluse sees in this gospel a spiritual image for us, and he asks the question, are you a healing pool, or are you a porch, you know, full of sick people? In other words, should we see ourselves as called to help others, or should we see ourselves as being in need of help? And he says that we are called to both things. We should consider ourselves and honestly look at the illnesses of our souls, you know, that we suffer at times from spiritual blindness and spiritual lameness and other spiritual infirmities. But when others come to us with spiritual needs, we must give all kinds of healings, as he says, enlightening those who are spiritually blind, reforming those who are weak, and reviving the sense of holiness in those souls which have shriveled from vanity and worldly cares. But how can this be? You know, if we ourselves are full of weakness and things, how can we do much of anything? You know, we're not some great apostle or anything like that. Well, St. Theophan goes on to say, this is because even though we ourselves are weak, God's power is made perfect in our weakness, as St. Paul says in his epistles. However, in order for this to really be feasible, we of course must make the effort to struggle against our passions and acquire the virtues with God's help. St. Theophan points out how the first step that all of us must take is to refrain from doing sinful deeds. Now, having achieved this, then the next step in our spiritual life is to struggle with sinful thoughts and feelings. And when we have made progress in overcoming our passions, then we are much more able to help others overcome their passions as well. However, if we have not yet conquered those passions, then it's a case of the blind leading the blind. You know, if we, let's say we suffer from the sin of anger, for example, and someone comes to us and they're struggling from the sin of anger, how are we going to help them if we haven't made much progress in, you know, dealing with it ourselves? But if we have overcome our anger to some extent at least, then we can share that with a person and say, well, this is what I did and that seemed to help, or I said these prayers, or I, you know, study this a little bit. So even though the paralytic was in this condition because of his sins, at the same time, he also had great virtue, having acquired patience, hope, and faith, which we can really see, you know, because as the Holy Fathers point out, this man would not have sat there for 38 years if he didn't believe that he could be healed, right? You know, I mean, that wouldn't make any sense at all. And the fact that it was once a year meant that, okay, the first year, he wants to get down there, but somebody else gets there before him. Okay, now he has to wait till the next year, you see? So it's not that hard to understand. I mean, this is 38 tries here, you know. But the man knows he can be healed, so that's really not the question. He has faith. He's seen other people be healed. They go down to that pool, and all of a sudden their blindness is healed, or their lameness is healed, or whatever. So this guy knows that he can be healed. But he lacks the ability, you know, to get down there into that pool himself. And so, but because he acquired this great, tremendous patience, and he had this strong hope and this strong faith, this really was what enabled him to receive healing from Christ. So when Christ says to him, "Rise and walk," you know, he goes, "Okay," you know, and he stands up. I mean, that was an amazing moment for him. You know, what a tremendous act of faith. He could have just sat there and he could have said, you know, "Don't make jokes with me. I've been sitting here for 38 years." No, he somehow felt the grace of God or something at that moment, and he had faith in that. And yet, those leaders of the Jews who should have been in a position to be helping others, in fact, strictly speaking, why didn't one of them come down and help the guy into the pool one of those years? I mean, they could have, you know, but they didn't because they're, you know, busy with other things, I suppose. But they themselves were spiritually blinded by worldly mindedness, and they were in fact enslaved to their passions. So all they could do was to judge and criticize this miraculous healing rather than recognize God's almighty power. In fact, as it turns out, it's the other way around. The paralytic was the one who was righteous and clear-thinking, for he could easily see that this healing was of much greater importance than a mere outward observance of not walking so many steps or carrying something somewhere on the Sabbath day. And another point that's made by the Holy Fathers is, let's look at this. Where does the paralytic go? Does he go back home and you know, sit back in his, you know, chair and turn on the TV or something and relax and have a drink or whatever? No. He goes immediately to the temple so that he can pray and so that he can give thanks to God for this amazing miracle. So this is a man who really has faith. And so it's there at the temple that he encounters Christ, and he becomes then one of Christ's witnesses in confessing that it was he who healed him. So brothers and sisters, let us then imitate this paralytic who, despite his sins, struggled to acquire virtue and received healing. And let us come often to God's temple, the Holy Church, where we might encounter Christ and truly become his disciples and witnesses of his compassion and healing, so that we both ourselves and others around us may be helped on the way to salvation. Christ is risen.
Amen.